Hello and welcome to Cloud Cover. This week, Nate is not in. He's actually out on vacation. But we're joined by two very special guests from Opscode. So would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Sure. George, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm George Moberly. I'm VP of Products at Opscode. I deal with product strategy and some field execution for our enterprise business.
And Brian Hale at Opscode. I head up our alliances efforts, so I've done a good bit of work with folks over on the Azure team.
Cool. Great. So thanks for coming in. So what is Opscode?
Perfect. We've got a presentation prepared just for that. It so happens we'll give a quick overview of sort of the company, the product,
right,
and then a short demo as well.
Some demos. Demos are always good.
Excellent. So some context on Opscode sort of before we go in and sort of where we came into the market. This is a trend that I think everyone in our industry has been noticing lately as you think about the generational shifts in computing.
Right.
You know, as virtualization took hold, really sort of in the early part of this past decade.
Yeah.
And obviously sort of in 2006, 2007, with the advent of server provisioning APIs or cloud computing, the level of complexity and just the sheer number of things that a systems engineer or a developer needs to think about managing and needs to reckon with has had this huge uptick in growth, right? This
yep.
is undeniable. So Opscode is a company, and Chef, our core product, is an offering that came about right at this knee in the curve.
All right.
And so it's a systems management and automation framework, sort of built for the cloud generation, built for this new level of scale and complexity. It's open source primarily, and
cool.
Opscode is a company behind Chef. So we'll dig into that a bit more as we go. And obviously, you know, as I stated before, what we're really seeing out of the market is people aren't prepared for this just quite yet.
All right.
They'll get access to that first server provisioning API, and they will quickly outscale their ability to manage.
Okay.
So this is a mode of working that most people are very familiar with, right? You have your standard multi-tier infrastructure, a few web servers, a few application servers, a yep. database master, a database slave. In the old world, without as much scale as we're used to today, adding a web server perhaps required 20 changes, right?
Right.
You need to configure it. You need to integrate it to the infrastructure around it. Things like DNS, monitoring,
yep.
quite familiar with that. As we think about scaling out and moving to the next generation, with a multi-tier infrastructure, as you add more to that, more scale to that, those changes are just multiplied.
Right.
Many of our customers actually start to look like this, multiple data centers across geographies, and the scale quickly becomes tough to reckon with, tough to manage, tough to scale beyond. So a bit more on Opscode and how we fit in. Opscode, as I mentioned, is the company behind Chef. We are what I would deem sort of a growth stage startup. We've called this category cloud infrastructure automation. And as we'll talk more about later, we mix in fairly deeply with the DevOps movement.
All right. So just a question. What is cloud automation as far as Chef is concerned?
Sure.
I think that probably looks a little bit like what this slide may be.
Yeah, so we'll,
what are you automating for people?
Sure. So if you put yourself in the role of a systems engineer or developer,
all right,
and you think about spinning up a brand new instance on something like Windows Azure,
all right,
Chef will typically take over right when you get that base operating system and a
mm-hmm.
network connection.
Okay.
So Chef will go through and sort of covers what we initially call sort of the triumvirate of activities, right?
Right.
Installing packages,
mm-hmm.
writing files,
right.
turning services on or off.
Okay.
So in the world of Chef, we bring those activities, which previously may have been bash scripts,
right.
they may have been hard-coded images,
mm-hmm.
and we turn those into sort of reusable dynamic recipes.
Okay.
So ultimately, when an end user is working with Chef successfully, you take that base instance, you describe it as a role.
Right.
You are a web server.
Mm-hmm.
And Chef and the agent that's installed on that server will go through a series of tasks and will build itself up to specifications without any
right.
intervention from you.
Okay.
Some of our users have described the feeling of that as being like an almighty pharaoh.
All right.
You are a web server. You are 10 web servers. You are an app server. You are a database.
So
those servers will configure themselves,
okay.
and then they will work with Chef to integrate into the environment around them.
Okay.
So a new web server will be put into a load balancing rotation through search with Chef.
Okay.
Or those app servers will connect to a database server. Or monitoring alerts will be sent to the right monitoring server.
Right.
So it's configuration, and then it's integration through search.
Okay. And as far as Chef is concerned, so you said you've got an agent that runs on your VM. So your base VM just needs a Chef agent.
Exactly.
And then as soon as that's spun up, Chef can then go off and configure or automate
Precisely.
The configuration.
And it operates on what we describe as a publish and subscribe model.
Okay.
So that agent with the Chef client yep. that's installed out on that endpoint mm-hmm. is given a known state. So you are an application server.
Okay.
And it will check in frequently to make sure that it is subscribing to the correct central definition of what an application server needs to be.
Right.
So if I want to make a change to that application server, it's not logging in and running a bash script. It is changing one central definition
yep.
and having that definition reflected across an entire fleet of right. application servers or even to a base role across the entire infrastructure.
Okay. Cool. So it's not just initial provisioning. It's also feature updates.
It's very much a two-part story.
Okay, nice.
And then with Chef, you know, this last bullet here, reconstruct business from code repository, data backup, and bare metal resources.
Right.
That is what we describe as a fully automated infrastructure. So if you get to the point where you're working with some base instances, you know, or bare metal resources,
yep.
and some metacode from Chef that describes your infrastructure, a copy of your customer data, and right. then the actual runtime, the application code,
yep.
you can go and build and rebuild that whenever and wherever you want.
Okay.
So for things like building dev and test and pre-prod environments that yep. are perfect clones of each other,
all right.
or maybe only have differences where and when you want those differences, Chef enables that quite easily.
Okay.
Disaster recovery.
Yep.
We have a lot of customers who will just exercise that ability because they can,
okay.
just merely as test. An interesting anecdote is actually one of the founders of OpsCode, Jesse Robbins, is a former firefighter.
Right.
And while at a large web company, he instituted a program called Game Day.
Okay.
Which was, let's pretend the entire system goes down.
Yep.
The entire environment. Chef, for a lot of our customers, you know, if a truck backs into a data center,
yep.
and you have a copy of your customer data, and you have a copy of your runtime,
right.
and you have some Chef code,
okay.
you can go build and rebuild wherever you want.
Yep.
The unit of work that we've talked about, you know, those templates when I'm describing an application yep. server, what I will typically start with is a cookbook.
Okay.
And cookbooks are sort of the unit of work within Chef. We have a central site, cookbooks.opscode.com, where we host over 700 plus cookbooks
yep.
For things as common as IIS and SQL Server
right.
to as new age as, you know, as Redis or MongoDB.
Okay.
So as a developer, what I can do is show up to that site, pull down a few of those cookbooks that describe my infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
assemble them how I need to,
okay.
maybe add some organization-specific data, and go to work.
Okay. So a cookbook basically describes your definition for what you want automated in the provisioning of
exactly.
the server, and a cookbook contains recipes of those individual parts.
Exactly. We
okay.
we borrow very, very heavily from the cooking metaphors.
Okay.
But you pull down recipes, pull them into a run list. A run
yep.
list comprises a role,
okay.
and a role is then assigned to a new server.
Okay.
A little bit about OpsCode. We'll make the very, very brief commercial announcement. So we described Chef as having this client-server architecture, right? There's
right.
an agent that you install out on the endpoint. That agent talks back to a central Chef server. The agent is open source.
All right.
Always has been, always will be. There's one agent. Talks to the same Chef API. OpsCode is in providing commercially supported alternatives to the open source Chef server.
All right.
One way to consume that is through Hosted Chef,
mm-hmm.
A model that's popular with consumers like those who might be on Windows Azure managing public cloud infrastructure.
Yep.
That is, show up, sign up. We have a Chef server in the sky waiting for
mm-hmm.
you. You pay us monthly by credit card and scale as you need to. The other is Private Chef, an on-premise offering from OpsCode, commercially supported, most popular with enterprise customers,
yep.
service providers, and those sorts.
So you could basically have a mixed configuration, though, right? You could have your Chef instance, and you could be configuring or controlling how both your private cloud and public cloud is.
Absolutely. Popular use cases we were describing before,
okay.
you know, taking those same templates
yep.
and applying them elsewhere. A popular use case is to have, you know, dev and test in a public cloud,
yep.
and then production sitting in a data center somewhere.
Okay. And as far as the agent's concerned, does that run only on Windows-based OSs, or is there an agent for, say, Linux distros?
Every major distribution of Linux, any of the recent versions of Windows.
Yep.
I believe there's Solaris and even a handful of others.
It's Solaris.
Awesome.
And again, though, you apply those same Chef templates to those same operating systems, wherever
okay.
they may lie, and you'll get the same result. If you run them over and over again, you'll get the same result.
Right.
So an app server running on Windows in a public cloud will be built and configured largely the same way as an application server using Solaris in your data center.
Very impressive.
So, and again, getting back to where we started, with all the scale and all the heterogeneity, Chef is something that sort of makes sense of all of those roles for all people.
Okay.
We'll dive a little bit into sort of some popular use cases. The one here today that we're going to talk about is really what we think is the most popular use case within the Chef community, and you certainly hear about it elsewhere as well, which is continuous delivery. Certainly configuration management, what we call broad-based configuration management, is popular with everyone. That's a necessary first step.
Okay.
Simply taking those hundreds or thousands of machines and making sure they're, you know, the right files are written, the right packages are installed, the right services are turned on or off as need be.
Right.
We've also seen certainly scale-out web operations. Many of the top, you know, dozen, top 100 websites in the world use Chef to manage scale. High-performance computing or sort of big data, even as a general category. Obviously, the more dynamic the workload, the more you scale up and scale down, the more important automation is. George, you want to talk a little bit about this?
Sure. We could just
switch
places, I guess. Okay, so we're going to drill down into talking about Chef in the context of continuous delivery. So what we do here is we just try to highlight really a success story of a customer who's referenceable, willing to talk about using us, and what the problems were, how they're solving them, and how we kind of fit into that. So here we're talking about continuous delivery, and it's really about rapid change, trying to hourly or continuously potentially promote changes as far as into production, or stopping along the way and having sort of an arbitrary process of how you move changes around. And so being able to do that in automated fashion, repeatedly, inside of a tool chain that includes continuous testing, includes code review, includes continuous build, includes continuous deployment. So that's what this is all about. Sometimes you'll assemble a solution for this from different tools from different vendors. Sometimes you'll try to get something that's more homogenous. So the example we have here is Ancestry.com. So that's a web brand I think a lot of people are familiar with.
Yep.
They do TV advertising. They've spoken at our user conference. We had our first user conference last year. We'll have another one coming up in the spring. So they've deployed a continuous delivery solution powered by Chef for managing their application deploys for their production infrastructure. They're using other tools. I believe they're using something called Go from ThoughtWorks as the thing that's actually powering the continuous build part of this.
Right.
But this is a good example of using this. And what I'd encourage people to do is we did a webinar with Ancestry.com recently talking about this kind of a solution. Really would recommend people go take a look at that. It's available on our website, opscode.com. Yeah, we picked this one. This is a Windows-heavy application environment here.
So the continuous application delivery, you're saying it basically allows you to have, you know, your process, say, if in this case, they're not using TFS, but if I was using TFS, right, I could, you know, do my dev work, check it in, have that run my suite of automated tests that's provided by TFS, and then that's going to provide an output. Are you saying that with Chef, you know, that compiled output of my application can then be automatically picked up and then pushed out to, you know, my servers?
Yeah, exactly. So if you look at this entire tool chain, people are going to make different choices. You know, you can use TFS for the source code and for the front, DevStudio for the front-end environment. You can use the integrated build and testing infrastructures are there. If you have a different kind of a stack, you may pick a different set of things. You may use GitHub or Subversion for source control. You may use Eclipse for your front-end work. So, yeah, that's exactly it. The Powered by Chef part is we allow you to model the different environments where you have infrastructure, dev, test, prod. Yeah. And then we have one consistent model for how you deploy that just varies environmentally by whether it's in dev. In dev, you may configure some things differently, which is data-driven, than you do in prod. But the idea is that Chef gives you an alternative way of basically taking those build payloads and deploying them out into those different environments. And we handle the modeling of the service and how you manage the payloads, how you provision your cloud nodes or your private cloud nodes, and then how you make all those changes and deploy the payloads.
All right. So let's. How do I trigger shift then from the end of my build process, for instance? So if I've just run, it's just built, it's run the tests, it all passed, say, in TFS, am I able to call then directly into shift to say, hey, there's a new deployment ready to go, or does shift do more of a polling mechanism?
It's all those things are possible. Yeah. Probably the most common thing is that you would just embed some API commands. We have a 100% REST API, all the functionality is exposed in that way. There's also a command line version of that. So you're going to embed calls that publish and describe what you're doing into the continuous build system typically.
Yep.
And so that's going to be done in a way that varies a lot by what you're building with and what sort of primitives you have for embedding callouts.
Okay.
We're going to show as an example here doing that with Jenkins, which is an open source continuous build environment that a lot of people are familiar with, even if they're not using it. So we'll go through a detailed example there. So what we're going to do is eventually end up going into a demo here, but one of the elemental things here is something we call a cloud plugin, right? So we have a variety of these for different cloud providers. We work very closely with the Azure team before launch. We were a launch partner for the persistent VM role stuff that came out this summer. And so we have now an Azure plugin that has, same level set of functionality as some of the others. So, essentially what allows you to do is create new capacity. So you create new VMs.
Right.
It supports all four of the different operating systems that sort of come in the base templates in Azure, Windows and three flavors of Linux.
Yep.
It handles all of the initial connection and bootstrapping of our agent infrastructure. So we use, for example, WinRM as a mechanism for launching onto Windows servers. We'll use SSH typically for a Linux server. Provision our agent, basically tell that node what it needs to be, and it will check in with the server, it'll march down, and they'll sort of manage change over time. So that's all kicked off by this notion of a cloud plugin. So for people who understand Azure sort of at the next level, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but sort of this is the hierarchy of objects that are getting used and automated in our plugin. So we're configuring hosted services, we're associating host role and service. You can see here there's many-to-one and one-to-one relationships. And this is sort of where we park these different concepts. Where is the instance size and OS image described? Where do we describe the network ports and sort of what's the API endpoint for the whole thing? So the way this, so this is a little bit of how the client-server thing works. So you see that you've got cloud resources out here, and we have the command line, the cloud plugin here.
Yep.
And it basically creates some set of raw capacity.
Okay.
We go through a process of bootstrapping a Chef client, telling it what it's eventually going to be. This one's a web server. This one's going to be a database. So there's enough information for them to check in with the policy server.
All right.
Basically, we publish policies here. We publish code and data about what the end state is supposed to be. And then we compile out what that means. So you can see here that we're gonna set up time service, we're gonna set up SSH service, and then we're gonna install these different stacks, right? Could be IIS here, this could be SQL Server down here. There's different content. This is more of an open source example here. Okay, so we're almost to showing code. What I'm going to do is we're going to show as an example a worked out sample here where we've made specific choices about the tool chain. So we've got a Java stack here, three-tier Java stack using these components.
Yep.
You can deploy these on one, two, or three cloud instances. Handles all of sort of the sequencing and orchestration of those things together in a coordinated way.
So you're saying you could deploy, Apache on one machine, your DB on another. You're saying when you say one, two, or three cloud instances, you can either have all three of those on one, or you can split them across multiple instances, and that's all configurable.
That's right. You can, you could do sort of the weird thing of saying I'm going to use three different operating systems for each of these. So the model, the chef recipes that model all this are coded so that they're platform independent, they're cloud provider independent, and they're data-driven.
Right.
So they'll essentially make decisions about the target environment, generate the right set of commands, and that's all data-driven. So we'll probably take a look at a bit of that as we go through. So basically, everything starts with source control. Continuous delivery, part of the deal is your infrastructure is modeled as code as well as your application as code. It's all just code. It's all just checked into some source code repository. Continuous build is a very familiar concept for a lot of people. It's a big part of Agile. So you're going to be polling for changes. You're going to be creating builds and then providing traceability back to source control so you can figure out, you know, which build matches what source code baseline. And then the chef part of this basically is we put some of these hooks into the build server that it basically instruct and upload policy information in a chef server. So we're going to create some data. We're going to upload cookbooks. So the chef server is nothing other than another build target. All right? It's getting built out as well as payloads are getting built. There's really no difference. So we're modeling three different chef environments here. We handle promote, we handle demote, and then in the demo you're going to see what we do is we auto-deploy an all-in-one instance to a cloud of choice. We'll be using Azure today. And then we populate a request portal where you can come in later and you can build more instances. So you can span more than one instance or you can change operating system, and I'll show that as well. Wouldn't be a real developer demo without showing some CLI, without showing a development environment and some code, right? So that's what we're going to start with. So we're in command line here, and basically what I've we'll go redo some of these commands. Knife is our command line tool. It's just a wrapper for the API. So if you want to write your own wrappers with whatever language you want, whatever language bindings, a lot of people go and build their own. Knife actually started out as a community contribution from a user who wanted that, and it's just sort of grown over time. So this is the base command set we've implemented for the Azure plugin. We're not trying to replace the Azure CLI here. The, the only reason this really exists is really for the server create command, so we can sort of handle the transition into bootstrapping it and modeling these chef roles. Other than that, a lot of it is just sort of supporting being able to construct server create commands. Outside of that, if you want to do other things from command line, you would use the Azure portal native. You would use the Azure CLI native. So what I've done up here, we've done a server list. This is just going to show me some builds that I've already done in this continuous delivery tool chain. So we've got a set of servers here. You can see we're showing the service deployment role host. Those map are how we're mapping these things to the Azure persistent VM role objects. You can see here these two are Windows. These three are Linux instances. They have public IPs, at least these three of them do, and they're ready to go. And if we now hop over into the Azure portal, we can see these same things. The cloud services that we've created for those, they're all sort of name associated. If we were to go into one of these, we could see the port forwarding rules and the ports that we've opened up. And we can also see that through the command line. So that's what I've done here. I've done a describe on one of them that we've done. We can see we just model as a medium. It's in US West region, although I don't think we're showing that. And then these are the ports that have been open. So there we go. So with that, let's go make a change. So this is a Java stack, so we're using Eclipse as the editor for this. But what we're going to do is we're going to change the logon page. So we're at channel 9 here, right? So we'll say that's the change. So what you're going to see here is this is everything that's in source control, and basically the whole chef repository is here too, right? So the cookbooks are all here. These are all just code that can be diffed and merged and branched and, you know, whatever you're doing for your source control process. They just show up as stylized Ruby files where we implement a syntax, and I'll show that really briefly over here. right? It's very declarative. So it's just using vocabulary out of the practice of systems management. So here's how we model a configuration file, right? We're going to generate a config file from data that's dynamic, right? We're going to take here JVM sizes. So in dev, it would probably be small JVM. In prod, it would be large JVM.
Right.
So this data drives that to generate the right thing for the right environment. So that's kind of an example there for how that works.
Okay,
so we're going to go ahead and initiate this whole tool chain here. We're just going to do that by checking in. Oh, right, that's just the one file. We'll go over here and do it here. So that's it. So we're going to wait.
Yep.
Well, however long it takes the infrastructure to give us an instance, it's ready to boot. Yep. And that's going to get started.
So what's your build process doing here in this case? You're committing the file. It's going to, you know, perform whatever tests you may have. And then you're going to use Chef to deploy that change to your existing servers you just showed us?
Or it's going to create new. It creates new infrastructure every time from scratch, building everything from scratch. It's actually, you know, lots of people don't do demos this way. This is really all live, no net. We're creating stuff live on Azure. So if Azure's down right now, this isn't going to work. We're doing thin instances. We're actually compiling stuff from source and installing packages all the way up from the bare templates. We haven't put anything in the Azure templates that come out of the box. So we'll see that all happening. What should happen is that the continuous build tool here is going to pick up that something's happened, and we can see that it has.
Right.
So it's pulled source control, and it's noticed that there's a change. So if we look at what's going on here, we see here, this is the logon page is the thing that changed. And so this is going to now, you know, do the whole build process. This happens to be a Java stack, happens to use Ant, but it could be Maven, it could be Makefiles, it could be DevStudio Builder, could be anything here. So we'll kind of let this go for a while. I'll show a couple other things here. So what's going to happen is you can see here that I think we're doing build 11. We're starting build 11. So we'll start to see that show up in different places. But I'll show you how this looks for some of the past builds we did. This is the opscode front end. It's our GUI. So you can see here we've got an activity dashboard. We show different client runs that have completed. So we've got, you know, nobody's running right now. We have finished runs. You know what? How runs failed? How they succeeded? Can support drill down for all that. But what I'll do is I'll show you a couple of the top level objects we use to model this out. So if we look here in nodes, we'll see sort of a finished node for one of these. I think one of the Azure ones is this guy here. So if I look at details here, what we're going to be able to see is it's Chef role. So what we've done is we've created this role called standalone instance for this application. Well, what does that comprise? Well, we can blow this up and we can show the whole recipe list. Now, some of these are things that I wrote custom, and some of these are things I pulled out of the community that I was able to use. And that's very typical, the process of modeling. You know, so I'm able to take the Chef client stuff out of the community. I'm able to take, how do I put down a JDK? I'm able to take that, getting started. I can layer.
Right.
So typically, you're going to see roles layer to have more general to more specific behavior. That gets modeled, and then we populate a large number of attributes that we discover, and then as well as can be associated with the different applications that we lay down. So in this case here, we can see the JVM parameters, where the database host is, where the app server host is, whether it's listening or not. That's the coordination for the orchestration at the top level. As soon as I've turned on the web listener, then I can move the whole process forward. I can start my tests that rely on the application being up. So the nodes will show up here. I mentioned the build portal a little bit. This is just a little example of encapsulating a little bit of a build manager here. You can see here that all these different builds we've built a record for here, what environment they're in. This is where I'd go and do some of those operations for promoting the build. Or I could say, you know, do I want to build a 3-node instance?
Okay.
And do I want, you know, Windows on the middle tier, and do I want SUSE on the back end, and
right.
You know, so on and so forth. So this actually does work. It takes a lot longer to run just because it's been serialized for demo purposes. But that's sort of what you can do, right? You're getting a lot of isolation from a lot of these things. So you have one model.
Right.
Model wants deploy anywhere.
Yep.
Right. So you can do early stage. I think Brian mentioned this. You can do early stage dev in the cloud.
Right.
Then you can do production in-house on a private cloud if you want, bare metal if you want. Mm-hmm. You really have ultimate flexibility there, and you only model and test it once.
Okay. It's really cool. It's quite impressive that you can just go from, you know, a multi-tiered architecture deployed to one machine, but just with a few clicks of some checkboxes, you can then have it deployed out across multiple instances, divided up like that. I think that's really nice.
Yeah. So there's a lot of power in this, right? You can make it possible in a small shop for someone who is sort of a architect slash operations and all-in-one, you know, multi 5-tool player. To have full control over this whole process across dev and ops. And then there's also, you can do control, right? We've got access controls in there if you want to separate those, have reader roles and writer roles to separate out authoring for different kinds of things. You can do that as well. You know, this is going to take a little bit of time to finish, but you can see here that we created the cloud service. Probably created the VM as well at this point, but there's a little bit of a lag on the refresh from the portal here. But we'll start to see all that show up as we go along here. So I think, you know, while we're waiting, we'll probably be a good point to, there's the VM has showed up and it's currently stopped, but it'll provision and we'll see that transition and have the stack deployed on it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so maybe we could come back. We're going to do the cooking show here in kind of two parts. We've waited a little bit of time. We've now got that VM is now running. And you can see here that we're installing the Chef agent. And so now it's basically got that role that this VM wants to be. And it's going to register with the server. And somewhere around here, we've compiled out the run list. And now you're going to be able to see it's pulling down the cookbooks.
Right.
It's going to go through all those resources. It's going to converge each one of them idempotently from whatever state it's in to a final state and sort of compile through that this whole sequence of things here. And we'll probably go to another commercial break and check in when this is all done.
Get with it, young man, get in the swing. Oh, the ice cream is that cool zing. So make the evening a regular ball. Get the refreshment that's got it all. Cool, man, like ice cream. Get yours now.
On average, just out of interest, how long would it take someone to, say me? This is the first time seeing it. If I were to run through this, is it a sort of a 60-minute process or hour, half an hour?
I think a lot of people, you know, are very distracted and busy when they're doing this, right? It's typically someone who's a operations person or a sysadmin or a developer. So they'll kind of come in
back
and out, right? I think it's, you know, it's possible to get through it in an hour or two if you're just kind of focused and looking at it. You've got all the, you know,
all
ability
the right
to create VMs or slices of things.
Okay.
You know, we talked earlier about that fully automated infrastructure of bare metal resources and cookbook code and application code. The getting started process is essentially pulling a set of those things together for yourself.
Awesome.
Best practice for writing your cookbooks after a little bit of experimentation or coaching.
And we talked about those cookbooks, essentially, you can treat them just like you would code. So there's a lot of toolkits out there for when you submit a cookbook to be able to run that through some integration testing, actually run that through some opinionated sort of best practices testing that's automated. And that's something we're seeing more and more of, that kind of software developers' best practices tool chain is creeping into the infrastructure side.
Do you have, like, tutorials or webcasts or anything like that for the beginner, like someone who maybe just getting started?
How to write your first recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can send you some links to some of those things as well.
Cool.
Yeah, we can look at a couple things here, right? So this is the community portal, right? So if you want to shop for a cookbook, you come in here. And if you want to know, is there an IIS cookbook, you search for it. Yes, there is an IIS cookbook. So what does it do? What platforms? Mm-hmm. What's the parameters it accepts? You know, here's a resource we define IIS site, so I can add, delete, stop, start, restart a site.
Okay.
So, and then there's some sample code.
Yep, awesome.
IIS site. We have a Windows cookbook that does registry keys, Windows server roles, Windows package, right? So start once kinds of things.
And when you say shop for a cookbook, though, are the cookbooks free?
Yeah. Everything on that we have on the portal here is, I think almost everything's Apache 2 licensed.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly everything that we maintain that's on here, which is about maybe a quarter of what's there, is Apache. When someone wants to join the community, they execute an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Basically everything here is free,
awesome.
Reusable. We'd love to get changes back, but no, you're not under any obligation to give us those changes. You can modify them freely.
Okay.
Redistribute them freely if you wish.
Yep.
Orbit. Super size. Super ice cream. Orbit. It's got orange ice cream and raspberry ice cream dipped in chalk. Yes. Orbit breaks the flavor barrier. Orbit with astounding free space picture cards. Orbit the big ice cream on a stick.
Okay, so we're back. Process is all finished here. I think we waited maybe 5 or 10 minutes there since the last station break. We can see basically what's happened is we've completed, and this is complete, and we've sent an email, which we see over here. We see that we've deployed a new instance.
Yeah.
It was deployed in Azure. This happens to be a Red Hat clone OS, CentOS. All three tiers are running here, and I've got a link I can click. When I click on the link, we have the change we made, and so we've basically, you know, funneled that change all the way through and modeled the whole process with Chef. Great. Well, that's kind of it for
the
demo.
Can't you do more?
Yeah, well, we can look at code. We can do all kinds of things. I'm just hoping that this has sort of whetted people's appetite for maybe just taking a look. It's easy to experiment, get started, find out what we do. We have a free tier on Hosted Chef, no credit card, no commitment, at low volumes. You can try some things out. We have an open source version.
Okay.
Hopefully this has been worth the time investment for people watching, and hope you'll, if you haven't heard of us before, you'll take a look at what Chef does. And it's been great working with the Azure team. We were very early on in the development cycle. Co-developed this plugin for a better part of a year now, participating in the launch this summer, and that was a great process, and it's been a great partnership so far, and we look forward
to
doing a lot
more
in the future.
To do a lot more.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show and showing us what Opscode does and Chef. The cookbooks and recipes sort of made me a little bit hungry.
It is about lunchtime.
Well, that was a good joke. You said hopefully whet our appetite.
Yeah.
Everything's about cooking for you guys. No, I really love this. This is very powerful and looks very cool. So thank you very much, Brian and George, for coming on the show and showing our regular viewers what Opscode and Chef can do.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Great.